All right. Sorry about the hiccup. Apparently, they're not very good when it comes to technology here. By the way, that's all my family, and they got all the musical skill. Fortunately, I got all the brains, so that's good there. So thank you for being here this evening. And just a couple things before we get into the message. Do make sure you're signing up your friend days. I don't know if brother, we're trying to get 100% of our average adult Sunday school attendance involved in having a friend signed up. And I think we're at like 45, 46% now. And so let's get after it. And by the way, don't be like Josh, okay? If you invite someone for friend day, they say, sure, but can I come tomorrow? You don't say no. Okay, I've already had someone I invited for friend day that already came to church. I didn't tackle them and say, you can't do that, all right? We'll still give them the gift card. Don't worry about that. And, you know, you can sign up people everywhere. By the way, we had a great singles activity yesterday, my wife and I, and with all of the different singles in our church. And my wife, when she was waiting in line, we took them to the pumpkin patch. And then the pumpkin patch, because the fire marshal told us we could not go in there. But my wife was able to sign up a single dad that raising his son by himself that she was in line with and coming. And then when we were out in Orange County, I saw a guy with this machine thing, and I invited him. Come find out, he lives in Long Beach. He used to go to a church in Long Beach, and I know where he used to go, and he said he'll be here. And so all you got to do is ask people, okay? They say, well, what if they say no? Well, let me explain something to you. If you don't ask them, the answer is no. Okay, so they might say yes and shock you there. And so that will be great. And then we will take the Friend Day gift card offering. I don't know if Brother Chim explained it. We have a little card. It's already written out, the little letter message. You know, I'll go to pastor conferences I have over the years, and a lot of times they'll give you gifts, and you get the gift, you open it up, and there's a little message in there, and it says, this is a gift from our families to yours. Thank you for coming to the conference, and a family will sign their name. And to me, that's always had a little bit more meaning than just someone giving me a book. And so that's what it is. It's only $5, whatever. And if you do participate, whatever you turn in, you can stop by the information desk there, and you can fill out a card there. Just sign your family's name to it. We're in a message series. I don't know if we had the graphic, but we're in the message series, Victory Through Separation. It was supposed to be one message, and this is our fifth message on it. And I'm just talking about different areas where we need to be careful in our lives if we're going to be the Christians that God wants us to be. And to be honest with you, being the Christian that God wants you to be will require that there are certain things in life that we need to be careful about. And really, we're careful about it by separating from it. And we've went through many things already, and I won't go back for sake of time and go back to there. But I want to talk about a specific area today. And I'm trying to help make sense with what we're talking about this subject. I don't want separation. If some of you have been in Christian churches or Baptist churches, you understand, you've heard about separation. I don't want it just to be like, you know, just railing on certain things. I want us to understand the biblical principles. I know the things in my life, coming into the church as an 18-year-old that had never went to church, and God starting to work in my life, and a bunch of garbage in my life, those certain things, I don't know if I heard the word separation, but I just knew there were certain things that if I was going to go forward for God, I had to get out of my life. And as I started taking these things out of my life, it was better for me. And then, of course, I started adding the spiritual things and so forth. But that's what we're looking at, and I want to teach one specific point of that tonight. Pastor Esposito used to tell the story many years ago when we were still in Bible college. We went to visit a church in Iowa. We drove from Indiana. We drove to a church in Iowa. We were there on Sunday morning, and so we were going to head back to Indiana. But we decided on the way back that if we left that church in the morning and we made good time, we could get to the church Mrs. Esposito's home church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And so we were making good time. We especially started making good time when Pastor Esposito said, I'm tired, I'm going to take a little nap, or you let me drive. Now, I don't remember what the speed limit was back in those days, but I'm pretty sure I wasn't paying any attention to it, okay? I'm like, we're going to get there. And I was making fantastic time. And then Pastor woke up, and he said, where are you? And I'm like, I don't know, but we're making good time. I missed a connector ramp to another freeway. And I was making really good time, but I was actually going farther away from where we were supposed to be going. I got lost in my directions, and so much for making it to the service that night. That happened to us one other time. I'm sorry, hon. I'm not throwing you under the bus here, but this fits with what I'm trying to say tonight. Every year, our family goes to Washington. We're going on vacation, and I'll drive as many hours as I can. If I get really tired, I'll let my wife take over for a few hours, okay? I'm a little paranoid about that, and that's a me problem, not a her problem. And so I was so tired. It was like 4 a.m, so I'm sleeping, and I woke up, and it was maybe 7 or 8 a.m, and we're driving through clouds. Now, I could drive in my sleep to Washington. We've been there so many times, I could get there, you know, with my eyes closed. Apparently, my wife thought she could, too. She did like I did. We were supposed to be on the 97. I think she got on another one. And I knew that we were supposed to be on flatland. And I knew there was no clouds in flatland. And I'm like, where are we? She goes, I don't know. And like, we were up in a hill. And I'm thinking, okay. Now, this was a long time ago. And we had just bought a car, an old Suburban. I think it's the one that Seth has. And it had a free OnStar subscription. This is back before, you know, the smartphone. So I'm like, let's try it. I'm like, you know, OnStar, how can I help you? And I'm like, where am I? And she very, very confidently told me what my wife told me when I asked her, where are we? She said, I don't know. I'm like, that doesn't help. But then she made this comment, and this was good. She said, a very important question, tell me where you're trying to get to, and I'll help you get there. And I'm like, bingo. And she was able to give me some information, and we got back on track, and we didn't lose too much time, not as much time as we lost when I was with Pastor Esposito driving the wrong way. Now, remember that. We're going to get to that as when we get to the message in a minute. Before we get to the message, just a thought as we're talking about separation I want you to understand too. One of the criticisms that comes to the way of someone that believes in separation is that separation is just nothing more than a bunch of do's or don'ts. Okay, how many of you have ever heard that? Okay, someone goes, well, you know, that's, by the way, obedience to the Bible is not just a bunch of do's or don'ts. And you can call it separation if you want. The Bible does use the word in a text or two, but really it's just obedience. And when you're obedient to something, now think this through. You stop doing something that you shouldn't be doing if you're being obedient to that principle, or you're starting to do something that you weren't doing if you're being obedient to that principle. So it's kind of a straw man theory to throw that out there, but I'll throw it out there anyhow. But I want to give you a couple thoughts on that by way of introduction before we get into the principle that I want to give you that. Now, I understand this. Any list of do's or don'ts, and we're not talking about lists. These are biblical principles, whatever. But if there is a specific list of do's or don'ts, if they're not scriptural, they're worthless in a sense. Well, so when I'm talking about this in a sense, and I'm talking about people that are critical of this, I'm not talking about just throwing stuff out there. And by the way, I've seen churches that are like that. They just throw stuff out there like, this is a list, and it's like, it has nothing to do with the Bible. It's just, and we're not into that. Okay, I'm just into what the scripture's telling me what to do, or applying scriptural principles in a way that would help us with that, not personal preferences. I've heard this phrase, you're not right with God, or this statement, you are not right with God just because you keep a list of do's or don'ts. I want you to understand that. And by the way, the things that we share, there's certain things I believe that we shouldn't do or shouldn't do based on biblical principles. But by the way, just because you do a certain few things that you should or a few things that you shouldn't doesn't make you right with God. And by right with God, I mean living a life of seeking to be obedient to Scripture and be obedient to God's will. That's what I'm talking about. You know, by the way, you can come to church and you could come to church regularly and still in your heart not be right with God, not be living for Him. So it's just thinking that, by the way, sometimes now in a school you have to have certain things in a school or else the school becomes out of control. But just because you follow some mandates in the school handbook doesn't make you right with God. And if you don't follow the other things I'm going to talk about, this is where you get messed up, okay? So that's the first point. Secondly, just because you are not right with God, and I define that term for us, by keeping a list of do's or don'ts doesn't mean that there should not be a list of do's or don'ts. I mean, as a new Christian, when I was learning the Bible and reading through the Bible, I'm thinking, whoa, I didn't know that I should not be involved in that. Or I didn't know that I should be doing that. And so what I had to do is I'm going through my life, I'm like, I can't do that anymore. I can't be here. And there were certain people I was around, and when I was around them, I didn't do the right things. And so I quit being around them. Now, I didn't have much tact. I just quit seeing them. We didn't have cell phones to text or anything. And after a week or so, they're like, what happened to Steve? He fell off the face of the earth. Now, I went back and I let them know what was going on and tried to get them to church and be a little more compassionate towards them. But at the upfront, I'm just like, I just know that when I'm with them, I'm doing the wrong. I'm not going to do that. Okay? But just because a list doesn't make you right in the eyes of God in the way you live, the other is also true. Just because that we can't just ignore the things that we are not to do and the things that we are supposed to do. It's very important. Next, by following a list, now here's the key. By following a list of scripturally motivated do's or don'ts will help you. By following a list, it will help you keep you from things. It will help to keep you from things that would cause you to not be right with God. Like protection. There are certain things I'm very careful about. Now, I'll throw one out here. Whenever I throw one out here, you roll your eyes and just give me 2 minutes and we'll go back to reality. I don't think teenagers should have a cell phone. Amen, Pastor Myers. I'll say it myself. Okay? You say, there's principles in the scripture by the way. Plus, kids aren't ready for it. And secondly, you're not in my office when they get in trouble. Okay? Whenever I have to deal with a situation with a teenager, I used to say 9 times out of 10, but I'm going to start saying 11 times out of 10, there's technology involved. And not that, you know, say, you don't trust your children? No, I don't. And I'm trying to put them in the best place possible until I tell them, you graduate from high school, you get your phone. Unless you're a knucklehead, then you don't, okay? Same thing with driving. You're not getting your license till you're 18. Now, that has nothing to do with separation. I just not want to pay for the insurance. I'm a tightwad. But the point is, when we follow these scriptural principles, it's helping to put us in the best place not to get in trouble so that we start to struggle in our lives. It puts you in the best place to be obedient. Next, I don't even have a list in mind, but that's what people say. Whenever you say, the Bible says this, we shouldn't do it, someone says, oh, it's a list. Okay, you deal with the Ten Commandments first, which is a, and then get back with me later, okay? Following a scriptural list of do's or don'ts here's the key right here. Following a scriptural list of do's or don'ts without having a life of devotion to God will not make you spiritual. You cannot substitute. There's just no way. It'll keep you from getting involved in things that could ruin your spirituality. But if you're not living, if you're not spending time with God, it's nothing more than meaningless exercise. Now, it's better than getting in trouble, but eventually you're going to go away because you think following those rules makes you a good Christian, and no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's just protecting you so you can be a good Christian. But if you're not spending time with God, that can be an issue. If all you do is live a list of do's or don'ts without having a devotion to God, you will eventually fall away. You kids in our Christian school, there are certain things you just have to do to be in our school. We're just trying to be careful. You say, Pastor, why don't you have any hair? Because we have a Christian school. And God bless me that way. Okay? It's like, we're just trying to say, look, right now at your age, the school handbook is not the Bible. We're not asking you to memorize it. It's just things we have to do to keep you protected now until you become an adult. And hopefully if you listen, you'll figure it out and you'll know the scriptures. But really what you need to learn first and foremost is have a relationship with God. Have a relationship with God. Everything good that'll happen in your life comes as a result of your relationship with God. If not, you're going to look at everything we say, hey, the Bible's pretty clear, you shouldn't do this. Oh, that's just a list, because you don't have a relationship with God. Very important. It always bothers me also when someone will criticize any type of biblical-based principle or mandate to do or not to do, and they call it legalism. That bothers me. By the way, legalism defined by Scripture is adding works to salvation. Now, if you think you're right with God or saved by keeping a list of rules, that is legalism, and it's not, and you're not saved. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about being close to God. We're talking about having God intimately involved in your life. Here's what I've heard people say, and it's false. There's no way that you could possibly do the right things. It's all about your relationship with God. Now, that's true. But when you have a relationship with God, you'll want to do the right things. You will. Now, there's still that struggle with the flesh, right? The flesh still pops up and says, well, I don't want to do this. It'll pop up me. It's like, yeah, I don't want to do it either. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. Well, that person was mean to me. I know. And I want to be mean to them too. Don't look at me like you're Pharisees. You're like that. But you know what? It's not the right thing to do. But I can't without God's help. But for instance, as a husband, there's things I do for my wife because it's my responsibility to do it. But I don't do it just because it's my responsibility to do it. I do it because I like her a little bit. Because she's my wife. We have a relationship. I don't say, okay, here we go. You know, Valentine's Day, got to take the old lady out to eat. She's not an old lady. Okay, no, I want to be with her. Now, does she want to be with you? I'm not quite sure. Ask her. So I don't do things, I don't try to live a certain way because I think that, because I love God. And I know that's what he wants me to do and I want to please him. I've heard this phrase, you cannot do right in your own power. And this is so ignorant. So quit trying. You can only do right in God's power. Now let me tell you, that statement is true except for a couple words there. So quit trying. I understand that if I try to live for God in my own power, apart from a relationship with God, that's going to be doomed to failure. Okay? But that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to put the effort in. So you're telling, when I was a newer Christian, Pastor Esposito told me, he wasn't Pastor Esposito, then he was Joe. He said, you know, when you get saved, God just changes you. And so I went to church with him on a Sunday and I got saved and I went home. I'm like, okay, am I changing? And I'm stupid. I'm sorry, that's a bad word. I'm ignorant. What does ignorant mean? Stupid. And so I thought that, okay, I'm just going to change. And I waited. And guess what? It didn't happen. You know why? I didn't want to change. I didn't try. So God had nothing to work with. So it's a mixed statement there. Here's one. Rules breed rebellion. Rules don't breed rebellion. They reveal the rebellion of our sinful hearts. Right? Come on. Be honest now. Not that you aren't honest the other times. How many of you like rules? Thank you. I don't like rules. I like to break them. You know, it's like, don't touch this. It's like, I want to touch it now. I didn't want to touch it before, but I want to touch it all of a sudden now. That's my flesh. Rules don't breed rebellion, okay? You know, the problem isn't rules. If you want to call them rules, but it's just principles of God that he expects us to obey. The problem isn't with God's rules. It's a lack of our relationship with him. And because we don't have a relationship with him, we don't see the importance of doing what he says so that I can have a closer relationship with him. If I violated all the rules of having a right relationship with my wife, and then I'm like, well, you know, what's wrong with our relationship? I'm not doing any of the things I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing all of the things I'm not supposed to be doing. Okay, over your head, thanks. Last one, and then we'll get to the message. Message won't be long. Well, if you keep talking, it will be. Here we go, ready? Christianity isn't about a list. It's about love. Now, let me just say this. That's what you call a straw man argument. See, a straw man argument means you see a straw man out in the field. It looks like a man, but it can't stand on its own, and there's nothing inside of it. It looks true, but it's not. Because Christianity is about love. It's about God's love for us and our love for God and our love for others. The problem is we put those two in a sentence and we think that they're exclusive one from another. No, they work together. It's not about a list. It's about love. But you know what? You know what happens when you love? Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. The love I have for God prompts me to want to please him by doing the things that he tells me to do and not doing the things that he tells me not to do. There's actually two people I knew well that used this against themselves and ourselves. One who left the church, went somewhere else, a real liberal type, and just said, why'd you? Because I just want to go to a church where they only focus on the love of God. And I'm like, well, that's not us. We hate people. First of all, if you love your children, you don't just let them do whatever they want. Because they'll hurt themselves. Don't we try to protect them? Another one was a pastor, and he changed his church to this liberal thing, you know, the branch or the olive or the garbage truck. I don't know what they call it. And it's like, you know why I don't want to be a Baptist anymore? He goes, because I just want to love people. Now look, changing the name of a church doesn't make you love people. If you don't love if you didn't love people, it has nothing to do with the type of church you were. It's just that you didn't love people. But it's a mistake to think that not love. Look, I could get up here every service and throw flowers. Everything's one, and by the way, everything is wonderful. But you know, sometimes you get to the Bible, if you read it, you read some things in there that are pretty tough. Because God says, hey, look, be careful here. This is what I want in your life, because God has his best, our best. So that's just a little bit of introduction there. Now let's get to the message. One aspect we need to look at as we look at separation is we need to look at our direction. What direction is my life going? Remember the illustrations I gave about driving and getting off kilter? The one question the lady asked was the key. I said, where are we? So she goes, I don't know where you're at. Now that concerned me greatly. She said, where are you trying to get to? Based on where we're trying to get to, I'll get you a course to get you there. You see, that's what direction in life is all about. The direction of our life can be greatly determined by the influences we allow in our life or the influences we avoid in our life. When I looked at my life as a brand new believer in Christ and I decided I wanted to live for God, as I looked at my life, it was a train wreck. You know why? Because I was on the wrong path, going the wrong direction, doing whatever I want. And I realized I wanted to live for God, and I wanted to be the Christian God wanted me to be. So now it was time to figure out, how do I get there? And as I started reading my Bible and I started learning some things, I started figuring out the things I would have to do to put me on the right path, to put me in the right direction, to end up where God would want me to be. And that involved allowing things into my life, dues, and not allow and getting rid of some of the other things in my life. Those are the don'ts. There's a Puritan preacher from hundreds of years ago named Thomas Watson. He wrote this, talking about making sure that we can live right. He goes, the danger is when water gets into the heart. The water is useful for the sailing of the ship. All the danger is when the water gets into the ship. So the fear is when the world gets into our heart. He wrote that probably 400 years ago. Do you understand that? It says, if you're on the ship and you're heading a certain direction in the ocean, if you allow the water into the ship, that's when the ship's going to have issues and start to sink and not get to its destination. Now for us, if we're applying that analogy as he did, the water that we are in is the world. Okay? The world is the unsaved society at large, which do not understand God's principles. They do not understand how God expects us to live. And by the way, I understand that because they don't know the Lord. I had no clue of how to live when I was, because I didn't know Jesus Christ, so I didn't know. I was just acting as an unsaved person, because that's how unsaved people act. And we're trying to direct our lives straightforward for God, and we're okay. But when the water of the world starts to get into the ship or in our hearts, that's when we start to sink. That's when the struggles come, and that's when our direction can be upended. Let me give you a couple thoughts from some of the verses we read, three of them. First of all, when it comes to direction in life, there is a certain path to take. Look at Proverbs 2:20. I don't think we read that one. We're going to look at the verses in Proverbs chapter 4, but there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 2:20, and I could pick many verses. He said, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. See, God expects our positional righteousness to match our practical righteousness. As I've said before, if you're saved in Jesus Christ, you're righteous. We talked about it on Thursday night, the record, right? When God sees your record, you don't stand before him for your sin because Jesus Christ's righteousness was put on your eternal record. So when God sees your record, if there's a record of sin in our lives, if we're saved, God will pull, he'll pull your record out and it'll say, everything he did wrong, it'll just say, Jesus Christ. He'll see the righteousness of Christ. It's all forgiven. You're not standing for our sin. But you know what we're supposed to do on this earth? We're supposed to take who we are positionally in Christ, righteous, and we're supposed to make that practical in our life in the way we live. And that there's a specific path. That is our goal. Now, by the way, we're never going to get there completely because our model is Jesus Christ. But we should, as we live this life, we should be able to live it a little bit better each and every day. We should be drawing closer to God each and every day, which will help us in the way we live to live the way God would want us to live righteously. So there is, as he mentions in Proverbs, there's a specific path that a righteous man walks, a specific direction that he goes in. And by the way, it takes effort. You know, in the New Testament, the epistles, it says that we are to put off the old man. In other words, our sinful actions, the way we were before we were in Christ, all those actions, we're supposed to, like changing clothes, put those off, and it says put on the new man. The new man is who we are in Jesus Christ. See, we're saved and the Spirit of God indwells in us, and he allows us, as we seek to live for Christ, he gives us the power we need to do that successfully. But if we're not heading down the right path, if we're not trying to do the right thing, we don't give him much to work with. If you travel somewhere, you follow road signs, do you not? You get on a road sign, says follow this road sign, it'll take you to this place. And if you follow all the directions, you expect to get to that place. Why? That's the direction you're heading. There's no way we're going to get to the direction of being the child of God that God wants us to be if we're not on the right path. We're not doing the right way. Secondly, you're getting hopeful. There is a certain path to follow. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Let's look at verse 23. These are some of the verses we read. He said, keep thy heart for all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, we looked at that verse. The issues of life are the boundaries of life. Okay? So the boundaries in our life, we need to be careful because really what we allow in our life and what we don't allow in our life really comes from our heart. And if we're not guarding our heart and we're letting the wrong stuff come in, we're going to have the wrong boundaries. But if we're putting the right stuff in, it'll help us to have the right boundaries in our life. But he goes on, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, far from thee. Then he gives us some pointers. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And he's given a context. Ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot far from evil. See, those boundaries are meant to keep us on the right path, the right direction. It's hard to get off the road if there's a boundary over here and a boundary over here that's keeping you on that path. And that's what we're supposed to be putting in our life. If this is direction I want to go for God, I've got to have some boundaries in my life to keep me on the path so I don't get off the road. Because if I get off the road, I'm going to go the wrong direction. There's a couple things he talks about. Verse 25, tells us to be careful about our focus. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look, you go the direction in which you're looking. You go the direction in which you're focusing. You know, all of our children, now our grandchildren, usually they'll talk to you sometimes, and as they're talking, they're looking. It's like they're going to run into something. They do it all the time. You know, these videos on YouTube or whatever, the ladies, typically ladies, they're looking so intently on their phone at the mall, they walk into the little fountain. I like those, by the way. Why did they fall into the fountain? I'm going to tell you why they fell in the fountain. They weren't focused on where they were going. And that's what we need to do. We need to be focused. separation from focusing on anything that would keep us from the straight path. By the way, sometimes Christians focus on things that just aren't that important. And that becomes the old, there's people here, they'll come to church, football season starts, my team's playing this morning, I'm not going to make it. I think I got a cold. That's an unhealthy obsession. Okay? And so that, by the way, that almost becomes a God incident. What are you focused on? There's nothing wrong with certain things in your life you like to do. I get it. But when that becomes the focus in your life, it'll take your focus off of God. And now you're not focusing on the path and the direction. You're going to go the wrong direction. You want to say, well, what am I focusing on? I'll tell you what's important to you. He talks in verse 26 about to be careful about the meditation. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. You know what ponder means? Think. Think about my direction. If I continue in this life path that I'm taking, where am I going to end up? By the way, most of us don't think about that. There's a reason 70%, at least, it might be higher now, of those who graduate from college work in a field in which they did not get a degree. You know why? Hey, man, my friend said, let's take this class. I always wanted to do this. It's like, you're not good at it. Okay? You got to match your passion with some skill and God's will and move on. But we don't think about where we're headed. Most Christians don't. Think about where are you headed. Psalms chapter 19, verse 54. David said this, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now think about that. David said, I'm thinking about the ways I'm living, the direction of my life. You know what I did? So I turned myself to go to God's testimonies, to God's word, to God's truths. Most of us don't think about where the direction of our life is leading us. And by the way, you know if the direction of your life is not good. But sometimes we mask it. We got on a far end scale, we're enjoying the pleasures of sin so we don't think about it. On the front end scale, we're so caught up in the little thing we're doing, we don't stop to think, wait a minute, where am I going? Where is this going to lead me to? That's why, and by the way, we don't just do this to be hard-nosed or pinheaded, but we're conservative in our views here. Because I read my Bible, believe it or not. I read the Bible, it's a conservative book. We're conservative in our life, okay? We're not weird. That's why we're very careful what we allow into our church. We had years ago, people left our church. They got ticked off over something. I forget what it was. We're going to go to this church over here. And I'm like, you know, that's fine, but do me a favor. Go look at the youth group because that's what your kids are going to turn out like. By the way, they came back. Okay? And I'm not saying sometimes we don't do things because we don't have a desire to be helpful. I'm not saying that. But we have to be very, very careful. I don't want to, and I'm responsible, we're all responsible, I get it. I don't want to allow an influence in here that ultimately is going to hurt the people of the church. I don't. Well, more people will come. Well, more people will come, but are they really going to seek God's will in their life? Or is it just a crowd? So let's be very, very careful about that. By thinking of our spiritual direction, this is how we apply the verses in the Bible to our specific activities, individuals, and influences. We think about it. The Bible talks about some of these things, and we got to be very, very careful. Look, when you look at direction, let me just share something with you. One of the new things, it's always been in, but it's sweeping through now. You know, Christianity all of a sudden has embraced alcohol. Now, on the fleshly side, I'd like to think, do you have a brain in your head? But I don't want to say that because that's mean. I kind of already said it. By the way, let me just make it really, really clear. The Bible speaks about alcohol, and it's not good. Okay, you want to look at it, study it, we can. We have a little book I'm going to get for us that Brother Sinclair wrote. It's fantastic. All the scriptures. But let's just pretend for a minute, can we? Let's just pretend for a minute the Bible didn't say anything about alcohol. I'd still be against it. You know why? I've seen its direction. you know, they get on these guys, like, you know, these, whatever, an athlete or something gets caught DUI. He was drunk. Of course he's not going to think straight. You know, he's not a bad guy, and I'm not condoning driving under the influence, but you expect someone to be drinking and then think clearly. That doesn't happen. Think when you drink. That's ignorant. Because the second you take a drink of alcohol, it starts to distort your thinking, and you're not talking to somebody that grew up in a church nursery. And I can give you personal testimony, but I won't. I could just see all the destruction in our country. Alcoholism. All of the broken marriages and broken lives, and without even looking at the Bible, I'm like, I'm not going to go there. I don't like the direction. Thank you. That didn't go over very well, but it's okay. We'll survive. I'm going to think about it. Now, the Bible does speak very clearly about it, so I don't understand how pastors, oh, you know, I just want to sit around with the people in my church and talk theology and drink beer. Why don't you just get a real job and be honest? Anyhow, that's free. Lastly, there's a path to avoid. There's a path to avoid. Let's go back in Proverbs chapter 4 for a minute. Give me a few minutes and we're done. He says, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. So there was a path of the righteous we read about. Now there's a path of the wicked, a direction. The wicked, or people that don't know the Lord, or maybe aren't saved, or maybe aren't living for God, there's a certain direction and path they want to live in life. And by the way, it does not lead to good things. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away. Not pass away like die. I mean, pass away. Go. Certain paths in life lead to certain destinations, and we are to avoid the ones that lead to bad destinations. And I think if you get a little bit of spiritual wisdom, you'll start to understand these things. Prudence, seeing the potential consequences of a particular action, thought, or way of living. That's prudence. You look at that and say, that's not going to lead to a good place. Well, you know, I met this unsaved person, and we kind of like each other. I think I can help them get to the Lord. First of all, you're violating scripture. Second of all, I read that book. It doesn't end well. Okay? God wants to give us victory. Listen to this. God does not want to give us victory as a Christian on the wrong path. He wants to give us victory from ever getting on the wrong path. Why is it that we want to get so close to things that could destroy our life as opposed to avoiding it altogether? I don't want to see how close I can get to something that could be potentially harmful. I want to avoid it altogether. Okay? We talked about temptation. Lead us not into temptation. That's a good prayer. You know, the best temptation is the one you don't go anywhere near. Look at the words he used. Enter not. Don't get started on the path. Don't go in. Go not. That means to advance. Don't advance if you're on that. Maybe you're already in the wrong path. Stop. Stop. I was in the wrong path many years ago. I stopped. Avoid it. That means neglect it. Let it alone. I had friends that, because they weren't saved, the wrong path was just the path they wanted to take. I couldn't be with them. Now, I brought them to church. We hung out at church. And I'm like, you know, that's not what I'm doing anymore. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm going to church. Why don't you join me? And many of them did, and some of them got saved. Pass not by. Don't go near it. You know, sometimes we don't want to be a part of it, but we want to see what's going on. You know, we don't want to live a wrong life, but we know everything about it. We talked about that earlier, right? Simple concerning evil. Okay? Wise concerning good. Turn from it. Go a different direction. You know. If you're saved, God's Spirit will convict you, like, you know what? This isn't the direction I'm supposed to go. When I was a new Christian, I didn't know any. The first 6 months I was at church, I didn't know any of the Christian brothers. They didn't know me. I was a new Christian. It's like, is this guy legit? And I'm like, you know, I didn't know them. After 6 months, I started meeting a few of them. I remember one Friday, a couple of guys goes, hey, we're just going to go hang out. Why don't you come with us? And you know, we didn't do anything bad. But I just didn't feel this. The things we were doing, I just felt like there's just something unsettling in my spirit. And so I didn't go out with them anymore. By the way, all those guys, none of them are serving God today. It was just something in the thing. I thought, this is just not hitting the path I want to. Now, I didn't get in the car and say, you guys are wicked. I'm just like, next time you want to go out, like, I'll pass. I got other things to do. Turn from, pass away. Don't give it a consideration. What's the point? Direction in life is very, very vital. It's very vital. And influences can help us, can hinder us as to go the right direction. The book of Galatians, when Paul left, they turned in their beliefs. And in essence, they kind of turned on Paul. And if you read, it's like, what was their problem? Their problem was a who. They allowed people after Paul left to come into the church and influence them the wrong way, to the point where Paul said, you know, if it would have been possible, you would have plucked out your eye and given it to me. Now I've become your enemy because I tell you the truth. It was influences that changed their direction. Now let me say this. How's the direction in your life? If you stop and ponder and think, the way I'm living now, where's that going to end up? Now, maybe it's not necessarily like, you know, I'm going to end up, on drugs or all that. But am I going to end up drawing closer to God? Or if I continue down this path where there'll be a chance it pulls me away from God? See, we think of sin sometimes as some guy's out there, he's an alcoholic, he's, you know, into pornography, doing all this garbage, and he's away from God. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes they're not interested in God anymore. They're not seeking to live for him. They're not seeking to have a relationship with him. But it started with a direction. And by the way, since it is baby dedication day, you'll pass that on to your children. And I'll say this, I will be done. If you're a parent, it's a heavy responsibility to try to set the right direction for our families. You can choose to do your own thing. But you understand that if you choose a wrong direction, you're putting your children on the wrong direction? They've already got strikes on. And I know they're responsible for God, but if you're taking them down the wrong path, heavy, heavy hangs on us, right? I want to do what I can to my children when they become adults. It's on them. But I, at least as a family, I want to put them in the best position to where when they go forward, to where, hey, you've been on the right path, stay on it. I want to put you in the best position to be successful. That's what separation is all about. I don't want anything into my life that's going to ruin the direction that I'm heading. And I'm trying to head in a spiritual direction. Let's stand together this evening. Thank you for listening. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute. We've had a great day, and I appreciate all the work that's been put in with the baby dedication and all of that. Ponder. I can't tell you how your direction is, where you're headed, and what you're doing. You know in your heart where you're heading. Some of you look good on the outside. You're the ones we talked about at the beginning. You got some of the outside things in order, but your inside's a train wreck. You have no relationship with God. Be very careful about that. Because the only thing that's going to keep me on the right path in every area of my life, as a husband, as a father, as a Christian, is staying right in my relationship with God. If I do that, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be okay. How's the direction of your life? Some of you look at your life and, man, Pastor, I've been going the right direction. And sometimes we get frustrated, right? We're going the right direction, and maybe we have a little hiccup. And we get discouraged. I always say, look back at where you've come. Are you coming there? Yeah, I'm coming the right direction. I've made progress. Don't let that little hiccup kill you. Keep going. Direction. Are there things in your life that will hinder your direction? Then you need to deal with those things. You need to deal with them. The piano's going to play tonight. If God spoke to you, why don't you come?